something else that I found very helpful for me in my personal life. How many of us suffer with images inside their brain? If you go back to stuff you've seen and done and experienced in your life, you all should be putting your hands up, because if you're not, you're lying. One of the greatest things that I've found to deal with in my own personal life is to deal with a record of the memories that I have of things that I've done and things that have been done to me in my life. And kind of growing up, I've told a little bit this morning just about some of my experiences. There'd be times when I'd be lying in bed at night just trying to go to sleep, and I'd have this unwanted invasion of images of things I'd done or things that I'd thought about or stuff that would go on in my past or things that I'd fantasized about or something would just invade my brain. And I kind of end up having this almost like this conversation of this realm of this stuff going tiki 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 tiki, and there's like a whole movie camera invaded inside my brain. And I began to realize that there was something wrong with me, because that to me shouldn't be normal. I shouldn't have stuff be able to invade me where I set my heart against it. So that meant there was something that was open inside of me that I needed to deal with, to acknowledge and repent and renounce and start smacking around that I hadn't had any understanding on. So I kind of went through a period of about 3 months where I did a scriptural study on imaginations, on images, on thoughts, on the human mind. Got right into the study of the human mind and did a whole lot of scientific stuff, then went into the realm of heaven and got a scroll and saw how it was all made and all that stuff. But the thing that began to impact me was I began to realize that I could change that behavior, but I didn't know how to. And so God kind of took me on a journey, and I want to just share a bit of that journey with you, because I know for me that when I got this thing and began to work with it, I found that it was excessively... it was hard, but it was just like chaotic when I first started. But as I went down the journey, it got less and less and less and less and less, until I had a visitation by Satan himself, who walked into my room, got the screen of my brain, and literally pulled out the video camera of my life, and there was nothing left for him to engage inside the memory of my life. And so I want to share that with you, because I know it's worked for me, and I've seen it work in numerous other people's lives. I'm going to share with you, because let me tell you, when you engage this thing, it'll take you between 6 months to a year, but you can totally and absolutely win and be redeemed from the memories and the images that are stored inside your brain. Mm-hmm. And so let's just work our way through some scriptures here, just so that this is found. The first scripture that is found in 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5. It says this: casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. There's three points of entry that engage memory and images inside our life. The first one is an external source that comes through your eye gate, where you see things. The eye gate is a fascinating little instrument that opens up. Your eyes are the gateways to your soul, the Bible says. And so what it does, it begins to reflect on the inside of you, into your soul, that carries images and records. In Genesis 2, when God came into Eden, and when he began to judge what Adam did and to begin to judge Satan, remember Satan by this time had gone from being a covering cherub around the throne of God, it was cast down out of heaven. Then you see him in Eden, in the garden of God, with Adam and Eve, known as the chief of the beast of all the fields. So he went from a covering cherub to a beast. When God judged him, God didn't make him a reptile. All God said to him was, from henceforth you shall lie in your belly like a snake. And so it means he was already reptilian in his form. And God said to him that your food would be the dust of the earth. That was Satan's food. It was going to be the dust of the earth. The dust of the earth is the record of everything that you've done that is related to broken part of the nature of sin on the face of the earth. So until that dust has been redeemed, then Satan has legal access to it. The second one is inside your soul. Usually where there's been defiling images or defiling things that have been done to you. And in your spirit realm, where there's been demonic connections through the spirit realm to your life. Oftentimes people would say to me, the battle's in the mind. That is true. The battle is in the mind for the capturing of the images, but the real battle goes on inside your heart. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. And so the problem is what cultivates inside your heart affects the way you think. But the way you think can also be a reflection of what's going on inside your heart. And so whatever thing you yield to that you become a slave to, whatever controls your mind controls you. Whatever controls you captivates your imagination. Whatever captivates your imagination captivates your thoughts. What captivates your thoughts is what you become. Again, a very interesting sequence, because it goes what goes on the inside of you to what's on the outside of you to going down deeper now into you, which captivates who you are and forms you into something, because whatever you look at, you become like. In Ephesians 4:23, it says this, that we've got to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. The word spirit actually isn't as in a spirit force, but it comes from the Greek word zoe, which is the ultimate form or power of life. So for us to be renewed, we've got to be renewed in the life connectedness, the life flow, the life that's giving inside our brain and our thought life. The one way for us to be restored is to have that renewed. Another scripture that's connected with that is found in Romans 12:2. It says that we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You can't have a renewed mind unless the content of it's been renewed. And it doesn't mean controlled, it means restored totally so that there's no record left, so that Satan's food doesn't, or Satan doesn't have access to any food that's inside your brain. And so it's dealing with these images that are inside here that is important for us. An exalted thought or imagination is a picture that overrides what you want inside there. It's an access point for spirit's powers to control and manipulate inside your brain. Whatever images are inside your mind when you pray or when you're engaging with people or when you're in an environment by yourself, feed into your spirit man and into your soul, which will either enhance your faith in God or deplete your faith in Him, will either unlock the possibilities of God or will shut them down. Now, I know that when I was a brand new Christian, I'd start praying and I'd finally find myself breakthrough until I could begin to feel some sense and awareness of the presence of God. And then I'd have these thoughts that would go flick, 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 flick in my brain, and everything would go, and all the presence that I was feeling would just sort of float away. Now, it's those images that are the things that are the key of the enemy locked into our brain that gives them access into our lives. And it goes deep down into our psyche, deep down into who we are as a person, because often the very hidden things we think about are really what we are, and that's why you've got to bring them into the light, so we can deal with some of these suckers. I began to kind of pray into them. I mean, I didn't know. I mean, I can remember going to some leadership people and said, listen, I've got a real problem with my brain, you know, and I have these thoughts that float inside my brain, and I don't want them there. They disturb the presence of God. They interfere with really where I want to go with the presence of God, and they drive me nuts. What can I do about them? And I got the most religious answer. Oh, brother, you just have to resist them. I'm sorry, I can't stand religiosity in any form. And I went, well, thank you very much. And so, but I went home, and for a year, I spent praying into my images and my brain. In the name of Jesus, I bind those things, I take authority over them, and I shut them down. And, you know, I try to, like, remember, anything you control will have life and come back again. Anything that's dead will not have life. And God's desire is for us to crucify and destroy the yoke of these things, not just to have them controlled. And so I went through my life and I began to control my thought life. And I shut the sucker down, and I'd be right for about 2 months or 3 months, and then suddenly it would all open up again, and I get it and I shut it down. And one day I was busy praying, and I shut this, Father, I speak to this thing in the name of Jesus, it will not control my life. And I went at it, and the Lord said to me, "Hey, what do you think you're doing?" And I went, "What?" And you know that, like a normal human nature, he told me to do it, so I shifted blame. He told me to do this. And so, I realized what I was doing and realized that I was just a bit of a mess. And so I said, well, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't understand. And he said to me, I'm inside there trying to kick them out, and you on the outside trying to shut them in. Do you think I like seeing what you see? And I went, no. And he said, I want to teach you how to deal with these things. And so he said to me, I want you to go and get a poster. And I want you to put the poster on the wall. Now what a freaky thing for God to tell me to go and get a poster. So anyway, so I went and got a poster and I stuck it on the wall. And I'm sitting there, okay Lord, what do you want me to do now? He said, now I want you to go and get some red paint and a paintbrush. So I went and got some red paint and a paintbrush and he said to me, I paint the poster out. So I got the red paint and I painted the poster out. I mean, how spiritual is that? You know, it's really deep spiritual stuff, painting the poster out. So I painted the poster out. I'm looking at this poster and the Lord said to me, can you see that picture anymore? I said, of course not. I painted it out. He says, right. Instead of trying to control them and deal with them, paint them. And I went, oh, that's a good revelation. And so I thought, well, I love practical imagery like that, that gives me an engagement. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things yet unseen. So my hope is that there is provision in the blood of Jesus Christ to paint over that image with a different record in that blood to destroy the yoke of that image. And so I thought, okay, that's a really good picture. So instead of, Father, in the name of Jesus, I try and control this thing and I speak into it in Jesus' name to deal with it. I started taking those images one at a time. The first thing I had to do was I had to acknowledge that they were in me and that they were in darkness and that the enemy had access, because anything that's in darkness, he's got access to. And so I would bring them into the light. So I went from being in darkness and I brought them into the light like that, so I could actually look at them, not to own them, to lust after them or long after them, but to own them, to repent of them. And so what I would do is I'd take one image at a time and I would look at it and I go, Father, in the name of Jesus, I acknowledge this is sin. I have sinned allowing this thing inside of me, because before I can have any dealing with it, I've got to own the issue that's inside of me. And so what I would do then is I'd take the image of the paintbrush, like that poster, and I would paint the image out of it. And then I would try and look at it again. I think, well, wait a minute, I can't see that because it's under the blood. And then so I started working on these images. Now you've got to remember, our brain is full of junk. So just because I did one image didn't mean to say that all the junk stopped. I had to deal with the junk. And so I found that I'd be lying in bed at night and I'd have these images, these things that would just start going inside my brain. And I'd be in bed trying to pray for everything that was going on. And the Lord said to me, listen man, don't worry about everything else that flows. Just deal with the first one that comes. And so I started every night, I'd wait there and for about 2.5 years, I found this stuff would come inside my life. It took me about 8 months to deal with the images in my brain. And I would find myself sitting on bed. And the stuff would just come. Images, things, memories I'd had from my childhood. Memories of things that I'd forgotten about. Because God's desire is to restore us and clean us from the engagement of the enemy in our life. To totally redeem us from the power of those things that control our thoughts, which control our emotions, which control our reactions and our actions around us. And so I take these things every day. Like I walk through the day. I even, I owned this big business and I had about a 3.5 acre or whatever plot of land that my staff used to mow, and I went to my staff and said to them, listen, I'm the manager, I'm going to be mowing the grass. Anyone who mows the grass, I'll give you a written warning, I want to mow the grass. So I bought the smallest lawnmower I could find. The reason I bought the smallest lawnmower is because it gave me a 3.5 or 4 hour stint in the day, once a week, where I could walk around mowing the lawns, dealing with the images inside my brain. And so there came to the point where it was really funny, because I finished mowing the lawn and I was standing there just still engaged in what I'm doing, because my brain, just through the automatic process of mowing the lawn, you know, you don't have to think mowing the lawn, you just ran, ran. And I was finished mowing the lawn and sitting there, one of my staff said for about 15 minutes, just like this. The lawn mower's going, ah. But what I'm doing is in my brain, my mind and spirit, man, I'm actually not here. I'm actually busy going, cleansing with the blood, Father, I repent of this thing, take that, cleanse it with the blood, Father, I take this in the name of Jesus, cleanse that with the blood, Lord, I take this thing in the name of Jesus, I cleanse it with the blood, and I'm just in this process inside of me, going through, holding the lawnmower, when my staff comes to me and goes, Ian, are you alright? Oh, sorry, Ian, walk off, I don't really know what the discussion was in the staff room that day, but it was interesting for me, but needless to say, I walked through my life, engaging the blood of Christ to deal with the memories. Now, there is no memory that cannot be redeemed by the blood. I started walking through some of this stuff with my dad, you know, hitting me with things. And it seemed like I was always praying over the same image, and I got sick of praying over this, and like going through these cycles of some of these things that I was seeing. And what was happening, well, actually, it wasn't the same picture. What it was, well, it was the stills or the record of this, of doing this. And I had to work my way through each of those images because they impacted me emotionally. And so where there's the greatest impact in your life of things that have gone on around you, usually the greatest degree of detail has got to be redeemed. And so I walked through that process in my mind, consistently engaging the blood of Christ to destroy the yoke of some of those images on my mind. And it came to a point in my bed where I would wait for images to come. I mean, instead of trying to resist them and worry about them coming and filling my brain, it was to the point where I was welcoming that expression of that stuff coming into me, because I was getting cleaner and cleaner and cleaner and feeling better inside myself and finding more fulfillment in my life than what it was before, because my brain was not filled with junk. It was not filled with things that had come from the past. And I found that the process inside of me was able to bring restoration inside of me. And to that point where it came, where Satan grabbed hold of my brain and pulled the stuff out and let it go in disgust, because he didn't have access point into my brain. Now, one of the key things when you get through some of this stuff is to keep short accounts. So when you're working your way through this, what I mean by that is when you see things and you engage things inside your brain that you should not, you need to redeem them. Don't wait for a month to go past. Redeem them. Bring them under the blood. You'll find that what Satan will try and do is try and engage you in your emotional life to trigger memories, which drives you into some of the stuff we talked about this morning. And so it triggers stuff inside your brain by your thoughts, by the images that go inside of your brain. And God wants those things totally and absolutely redeemed. That's why he sent his son to empower us to have the ability to deal with a record of enmity that is against our lives. The Bible says it's the blood of Christ that cleanses us from the record of sin held against us. And that's what the blood of Jesus does for us. And God's given us that capacity to be able to deal with this stuff. If you're outside the cross, you will not be able to deal with it. You'll think you can control it. You'll seem to have some victory over it for a while, but it will all manifest again time after time after time. Outside of Christ, there is no way to deal with this stuff. I've tried. And I know some of you probably tried the same thing. It just doesn't happen. And so what I did with a whole group of people that I was working with, I took them through the same process that I went through. I showed them what to do. We went through their first image. We talked about it. We got protocol for it. And then they started working on their life. Within about a year, just about every single one of those people was free from the images that invade their thought life. I worked with a woman who was, when she was between the ages of 3 and about 14, she was sexually abused by a whole lot of different people in her life. She became a prostitute. She got involved in all sorts of things she should never have been. She got involved in drugs. And so her life was a mess. When she came to me, I gave her two things. One was a gateways manual and how to deal with her gateways of her body, soul, spirit. And the other was this thing, dealing with these images inside her brain. And I prayed with her, sent her away, and for about 6 to 8 months, she did her homework in dealing with those images inside her brain. When I saw her 8 months later, which is about how long it took her to get her way through that stuff, she looked totally and absolutely different than what she did when I first saw her. And all it was God was redeeming the record of stuff inside of her and changing her from darkness and bringing her beauty and who she was on the inside back out into her face and body again. And that woman married a guy, and God did some amazing restoration inside this woman's life. And I love it when I see God do this kind of thing. God is involved and into dealing with junk that is held in record inside us. He wants you to understand that he's got capacity in you to be able to deal with it. He's given you provision to be able to deal with it, and God will do it if you give him half a chance. And so I know it worked for me. And let me tell you, my mind was full of junk. I've been involved in all sorts of things I should never have been involved in. My mind was full of junk. And God has been able to systematically renew me and restore me purely by engaging the memories inside my brain. Now, that didn't just happen overnight. Right, I didn't just lie in my bed one day and suddenly decide, well, I'm going to clean all the memories in my brain and the next morning find that all my memories in my brain were dealt with. Sorry, it doesn't happen like that. This is an outworking that took me about a year to understand the process. It took me another year. So about 2 years of my life was involved in what I've just shared with you tonight, trying to deal with this thing. Now, I didn't try and pray over everything else and do every other thing that was going on. I just focused on this one thing to get my mind sorted out and redeemed from the record of the junk that filters inside and that plays like a camera around my, in my brain, round and around and around and around. And so, so God can renew that and restore it if you give him half a chance to. And
had you already sorted out your heart and stuff in your heart before you, you've done that with your mind?
Nope.
Okay.
No. Because my mind is in my soul. My mind is part of my soul. My heart is a connection to my emotions and my feelings, but it's also it's the house of my soul. It's not my soul, it's the house of my soul. It's where I think from and where emotions are connected to and stuff there. My mind holds the record of the house. So I deal with the record, then I can deal with the house.
So somebody anywhere where they're at in the spiritual walk and in the Christian walk can just like concentrate on that.
Absolutely.
And then what you're saying after you've say you've spent X amount of time on that and you've got to the end of that, you've dealt with all the memories and the images and none of them images and memories ever come back.
No, what happens is I know it happened, but I try and engage the emotions of it, and try and engage the recall, the memory of it, is very vague. And then Paul says this, and he says, forgetting that which is behind, I press on towards the prize of the mark of the high calling in Christ. And so the only way the word forget means to restore and to pass away from, and so you pass away from the record. But it's got to be redeemed. For anything to happen, it must be redeemed. And then I keep short accounts in my life on a daily basis. I just keep short accounts. And I don't have the issues with my brain. I just don't have them anymore. And I mean, I you know, like all of you guys and your people, I was involved in all sorts of things they shouldn't have been involved in and done things and things that happened to me and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
So any of those emotional responses, they're gone.
I had to deal with my emotions as well, because emotions are a different trigger.
Right.
So, but the thoughts,
yeah.
See, emotions generate an image, and image will generate an emotion. So you deal with the images, which shut out and destroy some of the emotions, and the influence of the emotions, but then you need to get your emotions restored as well, because they can be fractured and shattered by stuff that's happened.
Yeah.
So it's just a totally different place of restoration. And that's why Paul wants us to prosper, body, soul, and spirit, so that our soul, as well as our body, as well as our spirit, man, can come into full restoration.
So if you've done a lot of forgive and release, and you've forgiven yourself, I only can talk for myself here, because about images and stuff in my mind and from the past. But since I've done a lot of work in those two areas, I don't really struggle with anything bad coming in my mind like that now.
So. That's because the platform of your emotions has been dealt with.
Yeah.
And so, but what I do find is that, as I say, the emotions create an image, and the images create an emotion.
Right.
And so, remember, a woman works primarily off her feelings and her emotions. Mm-hmm. A man primarily works off his visual.
Yeah.
And so for a man, it's a totally different process and protocol. And so, yet both are very significant.
Right.
And so I've seen women who've had to work on the images as well as the emotions. I've seen guys that have had to work on the emotions as well as the image.
Okay.
And so, but it doesn't negate the importance of what God's done in you.
No.
I mean, whatever's worked for you, I'm just saying, hey, this has worked for me, and this has worked for me, I know it works, and so here's an avenue and a tool for you guys to go away with and work with. If you don't suffer from them, praise God. But if you do, then here is a key that I found that's helped restore that.
Then of course, then if they do come in, if I do, then I have that choice now, which is I choose not to dwell on it or think about it. Or whatever.
Yeah, but not thinking on it doesn't restore it.
No.
See, and that's where the blood comes in to be able to redeem it and redeem the power of the image from your life as well. Otherwise, it's just a control thing. God doesn't want to control.
Yeah,
he wants it redeemed, destroyed, and totally dealt with.
Yeah. It does work. Yeah, I mean, basically when I was in the fast for 3 weeks, I went back through every year of my life and dealt with every image that all the way back to it took me 3 weeks, and I probably did it for 4 hours a day for 3 weeks, and I dealt with every year of my life, every image and every emotion that went with it. So it was an intense. I was wrecked when I came out of a 4-hour session. I just was just like, But I can't remember any of those things. Literally, the memory of the images is completely gone.
Yeah. That's what the Bible says about being renewed in the spirit of your mind. The word renew actually comes from a the issue of a caterpillar when it transforms into a butterfly. To understand what happens when a caterpillar forms, it has a specific DNA chain. And then what it does, it gets to a certain point, a certain size, where the DNA kicks in, that it spins a cocoon around itself. And in that cocoon, the caterpillar crystallizes, and it forms this crystal, this chrysalis that's inside there. Well, when the chrysalis first forms, there's no recorded DNA chain of anything else inside that chrysalis. And it gets to a certain point with temperature on the outside and season, where temperature creates a chain reaction inside the DNA, where suddenly this new DNA strand begins to form, and begins to form the butterfly out of the record of the old DNA strand of the worm. And when the Bible talks about being renewed in the spirit of mind, what it's talking about is a transforming process where you deal with images until there's nothing left, and then what happens is the fire of God can then engage you, and then suddenly a whole new thing of the kingdom opens up inside your mind, and you become something different than what you were when you started.
Why do you have to go to such lengths, Mike, to get the words done? I've struggled with this fasting, but I don't really get, because to me that makes,
it makes you feel weak,
doesn't it, for me, then you go into hallucinations and things, surely, when you
I mean, I was able to fast for 40 days without there being that problem. But I didn't deliberately go into it to deal with that. It's just halfway through, that's what God, I listened to this teaching, and I started to apply it. But actually all the images that were there are no longer there. So any of the access the enemy had to bring things into my mind, or, you know, and I looked at all the things I'd seen, things I'd done on computer, things I'd done in video games, magazine, anything. Oh, my own images of things that I'd done, which were access points, having, you know, I did exactly the same thing, blotted them out, owned them, repented of them, renounced it. And I then did the same thing with my conscience to any sin I'd done in my life, which had seared my conscience, so I didn't really feel it was sin any longer. And I went back through everything, asking God to show me every significant sin, anything I hadn't repented of properly, anything that had still seared my conscience, and went through the whole thing. When I came out of it, my conscience was so sharp, I couldn't look at anything it guarded and protected everything I thought, saw, spoke. It's like I just felt a new person. Yeah, it's like everything changed. It was an intense period for me because I was in an opportunity to do that. For most people, they're not in an opportunity to do it. I'm not saying you have to fast to do it.
I think it's this self-control for me. I'm thinking we talk about having a lot of self-control, so...
It's a fruit, but self-control is a fruit of the spirit, not of the flesh.
Is there's a difference between self-control and controlling self.
Because we do that act as if, which I think is a contradiction to what is being said here.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the confusion comes in. And we might need to have a look at that concept, actually, in light of what you're teaching. I think that's what's bringing some confusion. Am I not right, for some of you?
It works for individuals.
Do you simply, when I say simply... say the prayer, you speak it out loud.
Yep.
And is there like a specific prayer, or you say the blood of Christ?
Yeah, okay, so let's just go through what I do so that you have a protocol for it.
Please.
First of all, I need to acknowledge that I have sin in me.
Yeah.
And that the sin is a record of what I'm seeing. So I'm dealing with my images now. So I say, Father, I confess and I bring this image that I'm seeing into the light today. I look at it and I own it as my sin. Today I repent of its doorway in my life. I ask you to forgive me. By faith I receive your forgiveness for having that inside my life. Now, Lord, by faith I take the blood of Jesus Christ and I wipe that image with that blood of Jesus Christ to destroy the yoke and power over my life to redeem me from its record. And then go to the next one. Now, for me, it took me a while to get used to pray like that.
Yeah.
And so anything that you practice by rote like that becomes second nature after about 3 or 4 days. Because it's just, and then instead of going to dun, 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 it can just go up, bang, up, bang, because you walk through it fast enough to know the protocol of engagement with it. And so the more you do it, the easier it becomes, the faster it becomes, the more it begins to facilitate its function inside your life. And so when I was walking around with a lawnmower, I was going, jung-jung-jung, dealing with the images like that. As fast as that, instead of taking 15 or 20 seconds or 30 seconds to deal with one, it would be every second, 1.5 or 2 seconds, dealing with an image. Bang, bang, bang.
Can I just ask, if it wasn't you that actually sinned, but a sin was
committed
against you,
yep.
Yeah, and you still have those images,
yep. that
how
means
do you
it's exactly the same. The problem is, although it was done to you, you still hold the mark of sin in you by what was done. Mm. You're not responsible for what was done to you, but you're responsible for the mark that's in your life. And God can redeem you from that mark. And so the same thing applies, because it's in you as a record. It's your sin. Not their sin against you, but it's your sin because of what's happened inside your life. You must own your life. You can't own what they've done to you. You can't own the influence of what they've done to you, but you can own the product of what's happened inside of you. Because in owning that and getting released from that, you can release them and release forgiveness to them.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is that the act of someone else doing something to someone, the outworkings of that is what we are responsible for.
That's correct.
So any anger, any hatred, any unforgiveness, any blah, blah, bitterness, blah, 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 blah. That's the part that we are responsible for.
That's correct.
For.
Yeah, because it's a mark in you. You're not responsible for the actions, but you're responsible for what's left in you, because that's now sitting in you.
Yeah.
And for you to be redeemed, you've got to take responsibility for that in you.
Take ownership.
Yep.
Take ownership. You'll start to get peace, and I need to prove you do get peace.
Yeah.
It's very difficult when the emotions are tied up in the act.
Absolutely.
So therefore you have to separate what is yours, what is
that's
theirs,
totally true.
And what God is saying.
Yeah, that's totally true. That's what the Bible says. When you forgive, I can forgive.
Yeah.
When you release, I can release. Mm-hmm. And so in going through the process of owning your stuff, you can forgive and release, and then God can forgive and release you from it.
Yeah.
So the power, see, it's about dealing with powers. Mm-hmm. So the power of that thing has no more hold on you.
You know, unforgiveness is if your emotions are spiraling out of control and certain things triggering off, is that really unforgiveness?
Well, that's familiar spirits, as well as unforgiveness, as well as your choices, as well as your responses out of the emotional connectedness of what's happened around your life.
Yeah.
Any emotion like anger is a choice.
Yeah.
So anger is an emotion, but the expression of anger is a choice.
Mm.
And so people say, oh, I get angry and I don't have a choice. Yes, you do have a choice, actually. The real issue is that you have never learned how to destroy the yoke of the anger that sits, that creates an environment for you to achieve wrong. So you've got to deal with the emotion. But with anger, there's stuff rooted in underneath it.
Yeah.
So, is it like I'm saying, when Jesus threw the tables over in the temple?
He was angry.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. That's right.
Because there was no root.
That's exactly right. Absolutely and totally.
Okay.
He was angry on behalf of the Father because of the trading in the temple and the changing of money and their trading, because trading was connected with the king of Tyre, which is Satan. And he's angry that they had brought Satan into the temple of God.
Yeah.
And that's why the Bible says to be angry and sin not. And so to be angry and sin not means to take your anger into the right level or the right place or the right thing. And usually it's a demonic world that's engaged in anger. So you take the anger back of the demonic world. That's what I say, like I took that rod and beat that carpet. It's a way for you to express your anger and prayer against the demonic thing, which is a good thing to do. It's a very nice thing to do, and it feels good.
Which is what that was about, really. I just suddenly clicked.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what that was about. It was a declaration to the demonic realm.
Absolutely. It's the first time in 2,000 years that the spirit of mammon had been challenged.
Yeah.
It's about to happen again.
Yeah.
Glory.
So, you certainly need the wisdom and the discernment of the Holy Spirit.
You need a relationship with the Holy Spirit.
To be doing this stuff, because it can become religious in its own right.
Right,
it?
Exactly. But again, for me, everything I've done has been to develop a deeper relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want anything around me that's going to defile my relationship with the presence of God. I want to have an open, abandoned relationship with Him so that he can engage me and I can engage Him, and we can walk here and we can walk there together without any issues.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have stuff down here, it will hinder your walk there with the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Can I just clarify this bit, going back a bit, you know, when you said about images and stuff, and so they're gone, it gives Satan a right to...
The power of them gets redeemed. Until the power of them has been redeemed, then he has access to them.
Yeah, but then if I choose that, I don't want him to have access to it.
No, you've got to redeem them. It's not about your choices. It's about his provision for you.
If it comes in.
No, it's about his provision for your life to empower you to become who he's designed you to be. Not about your decisions, about your righteousness. It's about what you can do for yourself. It's about what he's given you and his empowerment for you to be able to do for yourself.
I guess that's the controlling it. Yeah. That's where we control it. But what you're saying is we crucify it.
That's exactly right. You've got to die to it.
Yeah. So what's happening is, I think, like, we're learning to...
That's like a lot of hard work to know.
Actually, you know what? The bottom line is, it all comes out of that personal. Yeah. What would you...
Amen.
It's simple.
Yeah. Yep, amen.
But it comes out of the personal with Jesus. Mm. But we get in the way. Because we want to control it and sort of manoeuvre it rather than crucify it and get it out of the way.
Yeah. There's no way to avoid the cross.
No.
And the cross is a springboard into intimacy and relationship. Yeah. And so you go to the cross and you nail it to the cross and you walk through the cross in a relationship.
Yeah. But it is out of that relationship, it's out of that, you know, that that relationship. Yeah, it's out of that one.
I think it's like people just. I'm not talking about you, Jules. It's a tendency to want to do it on our own strength and make our own choices.
Yep.
And basically, as ex-addicts, most of our choices are pretty mental.
Yeah.
But we cling on to what we know still a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's again the whole thing is about bringing you in intimacy with the presence of God.
Yeah.
The Bible says our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So it means all your efforts, all your own things, all your issues that you've tried to do yourself actually don't mean a hill of beans anyway. Because it's not about what you've done. It's about the provision of what he's done to empower you to come into the fullness of relationship.
And we're still trying
to talk about
the
bar thing. That's the flesh. Yeah, that's the flesh. And it's only relationship that will show you that. It's like God will come next to you. I mean, in my own life, I mean, I've done so much blagging stuff. But even in my own life, there's times when God will come next to me and he'll go, hey, son, you need to look at this. You know, one day, I thought I was kind of a reasonable Christian. And he came to me one day and said to me, you know, why do you love me? So what are you talking about? Why do you love me? Of course I love you. And I says, why do you love me? Well, so I went to all these reasons. And he said to me, why do you love me? So I went to all these reasons. He said, no, why do you love me? And I went through all these reasons. He said, why do you love me? And I went through all these reasons. I said, Lord, I'm getting sick of this. And he says, well, why do you love me? He said, well, what's your motive for loving me? Is it to get all that stuff dealt with, or is it to actually love me?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was just like, slap.
You can end up worshiping and worship.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yep. Exactly. Praise the Lord.